Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome to another episode of Whiskey Neat. I'm your host, Christopher Hart, and that is not how you do the intro. It is spirited conversations with interesting people. I'm your host, Christopher Hart. That's the intro. I'm not quite feeling like myself today. I had today's episode is with Mike Cameron from Devil's River, and we invite Alan Denny back on from EP Carrillo, but me and him had breakfast before, and I wasn't feeling like myself there either. Like the Pistons weren't quite firing right. I felt a little off and kind of lacking of both energy and diction. I couldn't speak well. And I think you see a little bit of that in today's interview starting off at the beginning. But I wanted to give you guys a little background as to how this interview came about, what the issues were, and how we approached making this happen, because it's important that we set a stage here. First off, what we did was there was a controversy about a year and a half ago, for those who don't know, with Devil's River Whiskey in the group, in which someone had found all these issues with their label. You know, a big problem with that I have personally, and that many people have with Texas fakers, are people who source whiskey from out of state, throw a Texan logo on it, and play off the Texas pride here in the Lone Star State. We freaking hate it. I freaking hate it. And Devil's River was basically seemed as a year and a half ago seemed to be a big perpetrator of this particular frustration. So they had originally submitted label approval to the U.S. government for sourced whiskey from Kentucky. And then what actually ended up on the bottle didn't mention Kentucky. And requiring a state of distillation when something is sourced from out of state is required in the U.S. So it seemed like they were lying. The fact that it didn't say it was straight bourbon whiskey, but there was also no age statement on it, would all of it basically meant that they would have to have sourced Texas whiskey that was over 4 years old, and it just didn't seem likely to happen, especially at the $20 price tag, $25 price tag. So a lot of it wasn't adding up. And the controversy basically centers around when they were accused of all these violations, a bunch of people tried to approach them, and they had initially banned a bunch of folks from their Facebook page instead of just simply answering it. And we go into that today with Mike. We talk about the controversy. We line out the items. And my approach was simply, and I think I mentioned this on last week's show, my approach was simply this. Gather up all the questions and the concerns that people had. I'll send them to him in advance. Let him know what we're going to ask. At least let him know that there was no agreement that I wouldn't ask anything beyond what we sent. But simply let them know the issues. And let them prepare a response. And if the response was bullshit, well, I can't say that word. If the response was BS, then I'd call them on it. If the response was honest and straightforward, what am I going to say? So today's interview is with Mike Cameron, the founder of Devil's River Whiskey. We go through and discuss basically every issue. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, the person that you wanted to co-host this episode with, and you know who I'm talking about, did send me a list of all of these questions, and I did ask all of those questions to Mike. So we got all the answers we needed today. I don't want to spoil the episode for you, but it does take a little minute to get into the swing of things because, again, I'm not feeling like myself today, but everything was answered. And if you have any feedback, please send them to me. I'll give you my email. It's khart, K-H-A-R-T, at HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. I probably shouldn't have giving my personal email out, but it's there. You can send me the feedback or find me on Facebook and give me the feedback. I wasn't out to trick the guy. It wasn't a gotcha interview. I'm going to ask you the questions that we have and just put it out there unemotionally, just plain text. If you did this wrong, you did this wrong. But at the same time, if he did something right and we were unfair, then we guys should take note of that. So, not to mention our sponsors of the show. This episode is sponsored by our friends over at Highland Park and McAllen, as well as EP Carrillo and Stogies of Houston. We've got a tremendous amount of support right now. It costs money to put the show together, and it costs more than you think it would cost to put the show together. So we just want to keep the show going. I haven't wanted to open a Patreon account, but you guys can support the show if you visit mywhiskeyknee.com, buy a t-shirt, buy some glasses, you know, help support the show. I take time off from my job that actually pays me to come do this because I love it so much and I just want to keep it going. So, we're not asking, we don't have our hands out to you guys, but, definitely support our sponsors. Go buy a bottle of McAllen, go buy a bottle of Highland Park. Like I said, I would never endorse something that I'm not a fan of. I'm a huge fan of both of these. Feel free to put it on social media and mention the show, and hopefully they'll see it and realize that it's worth supporting. So without further ado. I think that's pretty much it. It covers all of our bases. iTunes, Google Play, mywhiskeyneat.com, houstonwhiskeysocial.com. Our festival is about a month and a half away. It's almost time, guys. Other than that, that's it. Sweet. All right, guys. Cheers. Mike Cameron, thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely.
This is a long time coming.
What's up, brother?
Alan wanted to join us, and Alan's a frequent host of the show, or a frequent guest on the show.
I host the show. Thank you very much.
Good
to see y'all again.
Longtime friend. And a sponsor of the show, actually. So EP Carrillo actually doesn't start till next month, but hey. you guys are sponsors. I've been preaching the good word, like, forever. EP Carrillo, we saw that Cigar of the Year coming
a
mile away.
We done a little something, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm ready for a pour. So, I asked you this off air. You're not just a bourbon guy, right? You like a little bit of everything?
I do, yes.
But you're not much of a peated fan.
That's correct.
Yeah. You want a little Knob Creek?
Sure. Yeah? Excellent. Thank you.
So, something we can already relate to, because I'm sure everybody's heard my thoughts on peated whiskey. So,
yeah, I mean, it's something you've not been a fan of for a long time, but
it's just like IPAs, you know, it never fails. Never fails. Go on with Ian and Cruz, and what kind of beers do they bring?
IPAs. Yeah.
What do I bring? I bring stouts.
You come on my show, and we've got peated whiskey on the table. And
that's all right. We've also got rum, and we've got scotch, and we've got high proof bourbon, and the brandy. I've not seen this before. So.
Yes. Last week's show, the one that aired today, Iman dropped off. He wanted to leave me with this brandy because right now Copper and Kings is like the American brandy company. Everyone's talking about Copper and Kings. But, you know, brandy's been made here a long time before that, just not as well known. So that's a California brandy that he wanted me to try that just got bought out by the Gallo family.
Really?
Yeah, the Gallo wine family. So I could be misremembering exactly
that's
what he
correct.
Said, but – oh, you're familiar with it. Yeah. So he wanted me to try it. I haven't tried it yet, but
– we will partake.
I figured we'd bring it out
we
here.
We shall partake.
So – jumping straight in, I'm going to kind of break down in the introduction as to what exactly the issue was. But sorry, bring it closer. Sorry, force the habit.
Really?
So, this kind of meeting has been, something that, so to give a little backstory, about a year and a half ago, there was, some complaints about Devil's River. It was a newer brand last year, right? I think it may have been launched in 16?
April of 17.
April of 17. Mm-hmm. So about a year and a half ago, it was still fairly new. And the complaint was there was another sourced whiskey that kind of played off the Texas Pride thing. And you guys caught some flack for it. It kind of got a photo went viral, would be a nice way to say that. Mm-hmm. A local distillery had... I say a local distillery, it wasn't Houston local, but a distillery in Texas, a competitor, maybe someone that had an issue with the brand, decided to share a picture of y'all's cola label approval, which is, for those who don't know, I always like try to assume that those watching don't know the whole thing, but essentially every time you want to put out a product, like what you see on the table in front of us, you have to submit a label approval to the TTB, the government body that kind of regulates how alcohol is... specifically bourbon in this case, how it's presented on a label so that you're not lied to as a consumer. And the way that it works is it's kind of on a trust system for the most part. Essentially, you submit the label approval, and then whoever reviews it is supposed to make sure that they follow the law. And if they don't, let's say something gets by them and they miss it and they approve it, you can either surrender the label, which is what Crown Royal did last year with the bourbon mash. You can't have the word bourbon on a label with a Canadian product. So Crown Royal surrendered the label, and they were given like a year to kind of sell through their stocks. And there are people out there, you can call them watchdogs or whatever, that tend to hunt down bottles that have either misleading information or wrong information on the bottles and bring those to light. Usually contacting someone in marketing or what have you, and that's how you should approach it. And then if the brand decides to do nothing with it, then sometimes an uproar happens. And what happened last year was there was an issue with some of the brands, the label with the Devil's River product. A photo went viral, basically calling you guys out, saying that your label approval initially had said that it was – you have to put state of – I feel like I'm all over the place here.
Period.
Whenever you source whiskey out of state, which we've talked about in the show, there's nothing inherently wrong with sourcing whiskey. It's either make a gin or a vodka and use that money to help get your distillery built, or you source product in the meantime with a margin on it so that you can pay for a distillery, which you guys are building a distillery in San Antonio. But if you source from out of state, it's required that you put state of distillation on the label. If you source within state, you do not. So the controversy came up that your label said what was approved online was that you guys sourced from Kentucky, that it was distilled in Kentucky, bottled here in the state. And so calling it Devil's River and all the marketing stuff that goes with around the brand, the issue was this is presenting itself as a Texas whiskey, but if you look on the label that was approved, they say it was distilled in Kentucky, but what was actually put on the bottle itself to market didn't have Kentucky anywhere on it. So you guys were accused of essentially lying. What happened was not only did it go viral, but the backlash that ensued was it made its way to the Houston Bourbon Society. It made its way to other groups kind of on Facebook. It kind of went around all over the place, and they contacted Devil's River through their Facebook page, asked them about it. Is this distilled in Kentucky? Is it not distilled in Kentucky? The response that was replied back to people, including Alan and myself, was kind of a canned statement. And in that statement, it said that it was that the distillate is brought to Texas, which kind of implied coming from out of Texas. And then when people kind of pushed back further, there was a backlash because people were kind of banned from the page. And admittedly, there's probably a good chance you don't actually run the page itself. Obviously, if you're the founder of the company, you're a little busy. I doubt you run the page itself. But this is – I'm just kind of giving the backstory as to what happened. And when you and I spoke, every few months it tends to come up because, you know, nowadays – whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump, he'll say something crazy. It's talked about for 2 days and then it gets forgotten, and then – something will happen a few days later and it'll be brought up again. And that's essentially what happened. This happened over a year and a half ago. There was all this backlash around the brand. Even myself, I was not happy with you guys, at least with the way it looked on paper. And it came up again a few months later, and we're like, hey, we've already talked about this. Let it go. And then as the group continues to grow, and now we're five times the size we were when this whole thing went down, and it'll come up again. I was like, okay, we've talked about this. So this whole meeting is to kind of put this to bed and address it head on. I was lucky enough to our friend Mark Schilling sent me your phone number, and I contacted you. You didn't screen the call. You answered it immediately. you took my phone call. You addressed your feelings. I assumed you wouldn't know what I was talking about. I was trying to give the backstory of what happened. And you knew everything. You were like, oh, yeah, I know you. I know. I'm very aware of the situation. And we talked for a good half hour. And And so that's where we're at today, is that we want to address all of the questions that have come up about the brand, address them head on, and then kind of go from there. From your perspective, for those who don't know, what backlash did you guys actually see or feel?
Oh, we did receive some backlash from specifically in the Houston market, and it was very frustrating because and I don't want to mention names because it Sure. doesn't matter at this point, but the other distiller that's a Texas distiller, out of sorts, just, you know, in my opinion, you know, stepped out of line by not calling me.
Sure.
You know, I've known this person, not very well, but I know who they are. Pick up the phone and call me and ask me about this instead of, you know, playing detective and think that, you know, you're the judge and the jury. It really wasn't handled, in my opinion, properly.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is that, you know, when you file a COLA with the federal government, they take a period of time. Can't do it right now because the government shut down.
Yeah.
So that's another issue. But you file that label with the federal government, and it shows up after you file it with the state of Texas on the TABC website. And anybody can go on there. The public can Sure. go on there. So I guess this particular person was – you know, seeing what's coming. You know, sometimes I go on there and look at interesting new projects that are coming out as far as new labels. And he saw this label that, you know, this Devil's River whiskey distilled in Kentucky. I absolutely 100% did file that label. No doubt about it. I mean, of course I did. The reason I filed that label was because this project, to be in the whiskey business, you have to be very forward thinking. You've got to plan ahead, not months, but years in advance, because it's an aged product, right? So I didn't know if we'd be able to have enough product to be able to fulfill our demand. So I did look at a source in Kentucky, but I can tell you that not one single drop of Devil's River has ever had a drop of Kentucky whiskey in it, ever. So when I knew that I was going to be okay and I wouldn't need Kentucky whiskey, I filed another label approval and had that label pulled back. That's all it was. It was just simply a replacement with following the code. As you said, you don't have to put state of distillation if you're distilling in Texas. We are distilling in Texas. Never distilled in Kentucky. Never sourced from Kentucky.
Sure.
Period. So
it is a Texas product.
It is.
Can you say who distills it for you?
We can't. We have two separate distilleries that we're working with. We have strict confidentiality.
Of course. Sure. I figured, but I wanted to ask.
And you know, we don't necessarily want the public to know, and they don't want the public to know.
Sure.
But these are well-established, you know, smart, you know, guys that know what they're doing. I just didn't say, hey, I want you to make me some whiskey.
Sure.
We worked together on the project with, you know, hours of planning, and I've got a formula. I've got a recipe. I've got a proprietary process to make our product, and I wanted to find – a couple of distilleries that could help us produce that whiskey. And I did, and they have, and it's been great.
So for clarification mm-hmm. purposes, I a lot of what I'm going to do in this interview is going to be put out and mention what has already been stated or speculated online. And if I happen to mention the distillery that you guys are actually using, you don't have to make a poker face. You don't have to let me know that it's them or not. But and the exact wording I put in my email to you.
Can we just run down the entire list of Texas distilleries and see how his face changes with each one?
You'll probably hit a bullseye eventually.
Somewhere. Yeah. So there's only so many.
I do want to clarify a couple things you said, starting with, so for those who don't know, the speculation is that you guys are using Witherspoon. And I say speculation. There's been some people. The exact wording I used in my email to you was that there are people who are close to the brand who have said that you guys are using Witherspoon, which leads to a follow-up question. It's not so much that we care that it's specifically Witherspoon. Not that there's anything wrong with Witherspoon. It's specifically Witherspoon's relationship with Sazerac. I mentioned in the email to you that there's a Texas two-step maneuver in which, yeah. Which, you know, not to sling mud at Tito's, but essentially what Tito's does is they bring distillate to Texas and they run it through their stills one time and they can say it's, you know, made here in Texas. And the speculation is that you guys are, okay, great. You guys are, it's a Texas product. There's no, like, that's great. Are you guys, and if you can't answer, just say you can't answer. Are you guys using a distillery in which they are bringing distillate through from out of state and redistilling it here.
No.
Okay. All right. So no, you can't answer. No, that's not what we're doing.
No, that's not what we're doing.
Okay. No. Okay. Great. So
although I like the Texas two-step, but not that one.
Sure. Yeah. It's. I do too. I don't know why more people don't play.
We're talking about the dance, brother.
I'm talking about the poker or the lottery.
Lottery game.
Yeah. So the other thing. Okay. So you said that you have a process, a proprietary process. Are you contract distilling from this place in the same way that, let's say, Four Roses and Diageo were, in which Diageo had hired Four Roses to make their distillate, and it wasn't just sourced distillate, it was actually contract distilled? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, this is sourced whiskey from Texas.
Okay.
With two separate distilleries. When I think going back to that Facebook post you mentioned earlier, or the response or the canned response we had, in the beginning we were using grains outside of the state of Texas. Grains. And now we are using 100% Texas mash bill, which is hard to do. And
so it's 100% Texas grain to glass.
Now, it wasn't in the beginning. We were using, you know, corn from the Midwest. We were using, you know, barley and rye from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and in Canada and different places. But so the next challenge becomes, well, how do you find Texas grains that give you the kind of yield that you're looking for, the starch content,
sure,
the quality? And believe it or not, they do exist. Did it exist 5 years ago? No. But does it exist now? Yes. There's some farmers that have done some pretty good things in Texas. That guy earlier.
Yeah.
He just knew there was whiskey here.
He smelled it. So so now we are using 100% Texas mash bill, which is, you know, hasn't always been easy to do.
Sure.
So can I interject something?
Yeah, I do want to say one thing, though. So for those who are watching this and wondering what in the hell is happening, the issue that a lot of people have taken with whiskey brands who source is mostly having to do with manipulation of specifically the consumer and their pride of the state of Texas.
Sure.
So there are a lot of Texas distilleries who are making stuff grain to glass. They're 100% Texas raised, and we love and support those brands. And then there are other brands who source from out of state but still are transparent about it. We have no problem with that. I mean, Whitmire's makes a cask strength blue label whiskey that says sourced from Kentucky. Yeah. No one has – and who doesn't love – I mean, Houston loves – if anyone loves Whitmire's, and it's Houston. It's Houston. So,
well, TX, you know, a good friend of ours owns a big chunk of that. The TX whiskey, we all know it's not coming from there, but the bourbon, sure, distilled right there in Fort Worth. So.
Sure, yeah. And I've actually said openly that I think it's a great step in the right maneuver, where for the longest time there were a lot of whiskey distilleries in Texas who were trying to be the next – and this is not a slight against your background, but like Rebecca Creek was like the most well-known spirit whiskey.
Sure.
The branding was everywhere. Everybody knew who they were. And they were trying – and then what did they do this year? They released a 12-year-old bourbon. It's sourced. But there are – in my opinion, as far as the whiskey connoisseur goes, or the whiskey snob, it's a step in the right direction towards – obviously, I'm not just putting out a wide-release product like Tito's. I'm actually – and you have no affiliation with Tito's, right? I don't want to just shit
we're
all
– friends.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to just shit all over your brand, and you know, yeah, you ever tie no with them.
Tito's actually a good guy, and I wish him the best. He's had great success, and he gets slammed a lot, but I, you know, have a lot of respect for what he's done. He started with zero and
sure,
built,
yeah,
it into an empire.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he was offered like $4 billion, and he passed on it. And so, listen, I'm all for capitalism. I'm all for – listen, if I can make more money doing what I – you know, arguing on a camera or, you know, this little show, I definitely would. But I get the complaints. I get the issues. But so far, the issues that people have with the perception of Devil's River seem to – I'm happy with the answer so far.
So I want to bring up something,
sure,
because it involved me personally. So back when this all came up, there's a good friend of both of ours, Wade Woodard. I don't know if you've ever heard the name before.
I have. I don't know him.
And Wade is – when I first – actually, before I first met him, Wade was – I did not like him because I had posted some stuff online. He went at me about it, and I was like, hey, really? And then we actually met, became friends. I love the guy. But he's one for – just transparency in the whiskey world. And I know we've talked about Wade to death on this show, and,
sure,
and it gets brought up. But so when some of these things got brought up, Wade got me into transparency in this. So when this whole thing got brought up, I sent a Facebook message to Devil's River. And one of the things, so that you said that none of it, that the corn was brought in from out, but one of the things in the canned statement was, our master craftsman brings the distillate to Texas for final finishing. So that's saying the distillate came in.
Sure.
And that right. was after, you know, y'all were already making it. So it was brought here. And then it was the whole response, it was like, hey, this is okay. I can get this. Sure. I understand it. The label was a little wrong, but okay. So then I sent back a copy of the picture. Well, this says there, but you're, and then I was banned from the Facebook page. I couldn't even.
Yeah,
couldn't
which
even
is part of the frustration is we've, as consumers, we've been given these outlets of Yelp and Google and Facebook to kind of moan and groan, especially when we feel like we're not being heard. Alan wasn't the only one that was banned from the page. In fact, I may be banned from the page.
I know Gene is.
Gene is.
Let me describe kind of in more detail the backstory behind what exactly happened. And that is when we got this post that happened,
sure,
which was really, it's an overused term these days, but fake news. It was fake news. We never sourced anything from Kentucky. So we took offense to that.
But this says it was. I mean, this says that.
No, we never.
Her response. Right.
Okay. Her response. Right. Yeah, said it. And that, so
I
if
say
it
her.
Was,
I'm assuming it's. I think when we talked yesterday, you might have said it was a.
We have an outside marketing company.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but as far as, you know, sourcing product from Kentucky, never did it. Never have. And so we pulled that label on purpose and replaced it with a label that is in compliance completely sure. with the laws sure. of Texas, the laws of the federal laws. And then it just all this venom came at us all at one time in a very negative way. And I was like, who are these people? They don't even know me. They're,
yeah, yeah.
they're taking shooting arrows at our brand. And so we went to an attorney. I went to an attorney in San Antonio that deals with issues like this, you know, companies that make disparaging remarks about other companies.
Sure. And cease and desist.
Cease and desist. And so guy's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's 50 years as an attorney. He's pretty old guy, but he knows his stuff. And I went and sat down with him and I explained to him the situation, and he told us to not do anything. That was his advice, not to confront this other distiller that said this, to basically stay silent on it, because he felt like there was a significant case we had against that other distiller. And he said, if you engage with that other distiller and start an argument, then that can be used against you
sure.
in sort of some sort of legal action. Yeah.
You guys were preparing for war, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was damaging to our brand.
Did anything come of that? You guys go to court, or did
we didn't? We didn't, because it kind of settled down and calmed down. I'm not a litigious person. I never have been. I deal with a lot of, you know, legal things in our business, obviously, with as regulated as we are and going into new states. But I, wasn't the path I wanted to take.
Sure.
And so everything kind of died down, we just kind of let it go and said we're going to continue to focus on our brand and growing our brand.
Sure.
And then as far as – it's been pretty quiet up until, you know, I received your call and I said, you know, maybe this is the right time to discuss this.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you allowing us to come here and tell our side of the story. Maybe, you know, in hindsight, we should have just, you know, done this in the very beginning. But again, it was pretty bad. I mean, there was some stuff that, you know, with all these innuendos and accusations made about us without, you know, people being the experts and the judge and the jury before even really, you know, giving us a chance. You know, and I'm not talking about, hey, we want to talk to you about this. The stuff was said and then they wanted to talk to us.
Sure.
That's not the way I operate. I was like, let's get to the source and talk to them first before we make a judgment of
well,
them.
Well,
that's where I took offense, and the attorney gave us that advice.
To be fair, so let me push back on you a little bit. One, I'm going to say I had initially had sent an email to, I guess, through the website to kind of say, hey, let's sit down and talk. It was still a little hot then. Totally get the idea of leaving it alone. And then, of course, you know, 8 months later, whatever, I call you, you pick up the phone, all of a sudden it is the perfect time. So I do appreciate that. As far as the perception, the way I understand it, and I kind of watched the whole thing unfold, and I definitely had an issue as well initially, was someone had pointed out when this whole thing happened, all the points of the issues with Devil's River's label. five points, something like that. No age statement, no stated distillation. If it was pulled from out of state, it would have been the TTB regulations are a little bit wonky. They're not always super clear, and there's always a little bit of a workaround.
Like, it's the federal government. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. So there is something in the label, that regulations, that basically say you don't want to mislead
the consumer.
You don't want to say Texas whiskey, Texas this, Texas that, if it's not actually from Texas. And so the issue, if it had been pulled from out of state and didn't have a state of distillation but also looked like a Texas product, that would be an additional crime, so to speak. I say crime, but an offense. All these things were pointed out. The group kind of approached and tried to get answers, and then it was the blocking that kind of sent everything into a spiral.
And the blocking was just as a result of the prior. I mean, if it would have been the opposite way, I think it would have been a much different result. But we were at that time, we were on defense mode. We were told by our attorney not to say anything, so we didn't. And that's really
– I'd have been okay, you know, like if they had just not responded. But when I went back to look at the page, and I went back to look at the page because I wanted to see reviews or stuff people had posted, and I was blocked from the page where I couldn't even – like I was banned. Like when you ban your ex-girlfriend, I can't go to the Devil's River Facebook page and even look at it.
See, I understand that the attorney – my opinion's my opinion. It's not worth the paper it's written on or
True.
Tape it's recorded on. But I think the better route would have been to prepare a statement specifically addressing it, as a, you know, not doing the back and forth and having to have all these conversations with all these people, but a more accurate, canned response, as opposed to just blocking people. Because from what I saw, it basically sank the page. The Facebook page just kind of, everyone's giving bad reviews.
Every one of those negative, every one of those negative comments, and they were collected and they were given to the attorney. I can share that with you now at this point. But and it wasn't just the comments that were made. You know, there was other things that happened that you guys may or may not be aware of. But there was a tweet from Tillman Fertitta regarding that he would never support Devil's River. Well, that's pretty unfair. That's pretty damaging to our brand.
Tillman Fertitta saw this whole thing and tweeted about it?
Yeah. So that's an example of how the words that you guys have or other guys in your organization have that can damage and hurt a brand.
Sure.
And so it had gotten that big to where we were like, I'll use the F word, fuck these guys. They aren't even giving us a chance. And that's, so at the time, we really were frustrated. So that was where we were at that time. Now that I'm meeting you guys, I know you're good guys. From what I can tell, but it was just we weren't going to talk to anybody because we were advised to do that, and there had been so much backlash, negative stuff that it was just like, why do we want to give these guys the time of day? That's where it came from. So anyway, we just moved on, and I mean, you talk about taking some heat, Tito's Vodka. You talk about
they've taken quite the heat over the years,
and you know, it's kind of like. Just he's risen above and he continues to be successful. And you know, I've had conversations with people in the industry about this topic, and a lot of them say take the higher road, move forward, and move on. But I don't want to run or ignore this, you know.
Sure.
And so you approach me again. You
know? Did anybody tell you not to do this interview?
I mean, I don't. Wouldn't matter. It's my company. So, but you know, I think that maybe if I asked people, they'd probably say, "What are you doing that for?" But you know, it's just look. We're proud of the success our company's had. I'm proud to be in Texas with this brand. I'm proud of our new distillery that we're opening. We're in 11 states already. We're going into more. Like I mentioned earlier, you have to be very forward thinking in this business. So we've put down. You guys, believe it or not, we've put down almost 3,000 barrels of whiskey. We have aging in warehouses around Texas because we're planning for success. We're planning
now.
What are the addresses of those?
When you say you've put down again, we're talking going back to the question of contract distilling.
Mm-hmm.
You had your own proprietary mash bill.
Yep.
And you asked them the 75-21-4. Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Their response.
Again,
more,
their response. Another their error response. In the canned yes. yeah. can statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I didn't even add that up when I was
– It's 99. You should have pointed that out.
That 1% is Devil's River water. So, okay. So you guys contract distill and mm-hmm. you are currently you said you have almost 3,000 barrels of y'all's specific mash bill.
Correct.
Okay. And okay, so going back to, you don't do the Texas two-step process. You can't confirm exactly which distilleries you use, though the fact that it's two is surprising. I had heard it was just one.
I got a question real quick. Sure. Just so the 3,000, because you made the comment that you have them aging in different areas. Are we talking different areas of San Antonio or San Antonio and Dallas or
– different areas of Texas.
Okay.
But not in the Panhandle and not in West Texas.
Okay. And the reason I ask is because I'm curious, just knowing how rickhouses work, if how much different that could be when you bring them in from different areas, and you marry the barrels, how much different you can get. Like if you were to marry stuff from, say, just San Antonio and keep the Dallas stuff out versus Dallas and San Antonio, it'd be totally different blend.
Yes, there are variances, and it's a great question. And when we bring them in for the final, blending that, of the different barrels, you have to check that. You have to measure that and keep the consistency. But as far as the grain, it's all the same grain.
Right.
When we have our new facility, we're going to have a bottle in bond product that you can only get at the distillery. So we're going to do some different innovations and expressions as we evolve. But right now we have the three products, which is Devil's River Bourbon, which is 90 proof bourbon. We have a rye whiskey and made with Texas rye. And then we have a Devil's River barrel strength. So those are the three products we have. We're focusing on those for the next several years. But we'll put some more product down and continue to age. We use a number 4 char. I can share that with you. We use independent barrels, which is kind of industry standard with Kentucky. Not that they're the experts, but they certainly know what they're doing when they're doing 95% of the world's bourbon over there. So there is a lot of the Kentucky model that we follow.
Let's talk about the age statement for a second.
Okay.
So one thing missing from the label is an age statement. And for those who don't know, the TTB requires, or the federal government, CFR requires that anything under the age of 4 years carry an age statement. And anything over 2 could carry the name. There's other restrictions, but anything over 2 meets the minimum for straight bourbon. So your bottle doesn't say straight and doesn't have an age statement. So the curiosity is there, why doesn't it say straight? And is it really over 4, or is it just missing the age statement? And it's
great question. Number one, we're not a straight bourbon, and we're not over 4 years. It's just a little under 2 years.
Okay.
And the age statement should be on there. When I've had multiple interviews on this brand, and have said that in the interviews what the age statement is.
Sure, I didn't know that, so you could lie to me right now.
Yeah, no, we have been asked that question before. And when you're planning again, forward thinking, you got to order lots of glass, lots of closures, lots of labels. We ordered, 250,000 labels originally on this product, and that label was a label that we submitted to. We have an outside third party that does label submission for us.
Sure.
They submitted the label, it got approved. We brought it back, and that's what we've used. Now, as we go forward, either by our own choice or being forced to some of the new legislation that's coming up. You've seen American Craft Spirits label initiatives. You've seen some of those issues that have come up on the TTB website and memos. So everyone's going to have to probably follow whatever those new compliance laws are. But for right now, we're using the label that we got approved. But I'll tell anybody that asked me that it's just right under 2 years old, and that is
so it's true. Essentially, and just to put it in plain English, so the label is incorrect for not carrying an age statement, and you guys are just working through what you've got printed currently.
And it wasn't intentional. It really wasn't. But we submitted it through this third party. I asked them, and they said, you're fine, and I submitted it, and it got approved, and the state of Texas approved it, and that's what we've used. And even if the state of Texas came back and said, you're going to have to change your label, typically it's a courtesy that a lot of government regulators allow you to do is to work through what you have, just like Crown Bourbon Mash, work through there. So that's what we'll end up doing.
Guys haven't surrendered the label, but new labels, do you have a new one out that has the correct information?
We still have a lot of inventory, so we'll work through that, but we will be in compliance with our next label run.
So bottom line, it's not straight because it's just under 2.
Correct.
And it's not carrying an age statement due to oversight.
Right. So absolutely true.
Just a curious question. You had said earlier that when you were talking about getting the label done, that it was a project and you thought it might be Kentucky that you mm-hmm. did stuff from. How long have you been thinking about before you went and said, okay, I want you to distill it, before the first drop was distilled, yeah. how long were you thinking about this and working on what you wanted to do?
When I talk about forward thinking, I mean, you know, I've been in this business now and held a DSP for over 10 years. You know, I've been in this, you know, working on this, on projects in this industry for 12 years. So, but on this particular project, I've been probably start to finish till now about 4 years. I've been working on this project, and that is forward thinking, forward planning,
sure.
to be ready for success. I mean, we're expanding to more states in 2019. And again, you have to have supply to meet sure. the demand. But on the label, it says, you know, small batch, Texas bourbon. Well, what is small batch? You know, that's a controversial thing, you sure. know, and in my definition, from what I read and talking to industry pros, they feel like, you know, 120, 125 barrels is a small batch category bourbon, you know, so we take 125 of our, you know, barrels of our bourbon, and that just happens to be the same amount of product that will fit into a tanker.
Convenient.
About, yeah, it is convenient. So When we select those barrels, we take them to our filling and you know and which is in Texas, and that's the process. So, but it's 125 barrels at a time. So that qualifies in my mind as a small batch, meets that requirement. And then you talk about us having 3,000 barrels. You know, you look at, you know, Kentucky, and that's such a splash.
That's 0.1% of 100%
exactly
what they have. Do you, yeah. So when is the distillery y'all are building in San Antonio? When is it going to be up ready? In
October. Yeah. So we have found a building. It's a cool old building built in 1918, which I like because it's right before Prohibition, you know, the Volstead Act was enacted. So we're going to have a Prohibition theme, you know, to the place. All the outside trim of the building was copper, and it was all patinaed. You know, you couldn't tell that it was copper. It's just kind of that green color. Yeah. So I had some contractors buff it out a couple weeks ago, and it's really cool. It's all copper trim on the outside of the building. It's got a basement. It's supposed to be haunted. I don't know. That's a fun story to talk about. I've never come across any ghosts yet as I've been over there, but we've ordered our equipment for that facility. It's coming from Germany. I can share with you that Christian Karl, which is, you know, obviously well-respected yeah. in business since the 1800s, and they've been over several times, several trips to help us with sizing because it's custom fit for this space. And we actually share an alley with another whiskey distillery that's coming on, which will be open. They're going to be open sooner than we will. And so it's exciting, you know. Houston Street, where we're locating, is back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, was the center of San Antonio and of business commerce, and it just kind of got mothballed and, you know, it just really went into a bad state for a long period of time. So this is called Activate Houston, is a new renovation that's happening downtown, and it's real exciting to, you know, we're right in the middle of it. I mean, we couldn't have picked a better location, and so if you're familiar with the Majestic Theater or the Buckhorn Saloon, we're right there where that area, intersection is. Why did I pick that spot? It's a block and a half from the Alamo, which is, you know, the largest tourist destination in Texas. Over 3 million people a year come there. We're one block from the Riverwalk. And people that come to San Antonio on the weekends, they're not from San Antonio. They're from another city, another state, another country. So we feel like it would be a good way to get our brand exposed to all those folks, and still be
them.
A Texas-based
sure.
product. No, we're going to have – let me finish. We'll have a second location, too, for that facility. I can't fit the entire operation in that downtown
storage,
distillery.
Obviously, you can't.
So the bottling will be done off-site. We've got another building we've already found for that, and that's closer to the interstate. But Texas law requires them to be within 9 miles of each other, and this is less than 2 miles away. So
that's the bottling line from the distillery.
Mm-hmm. In storage.
So moving forward, yep. We've got age statement covered. We've got the canned response covered. Now, you guys corrected that on the website or anything? If anyone were to inquire now to the page, would they get the same response?
I mean, I think there's lots of literature that we've had for at least a year that talks about that we're aged just under 2 years. In interviews I've had or our employees
sure.
have had, that's been stated multiple times.
But I don't mean just
okay.
I mean the like the mash bill, the math being, you know.
Yeah, that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, where they bring the distilled, distilled and traditional copper pot stills, they bring the distilled to Texas, all that stuff is, and use a number four chart.
That's not, I haven't seen that. I mean, you showed it to me
the other
day, but I hadn't seen it
if you want
prior
to
that.
Oh, you got it right there.
But no, if someone goes to our website, they'll see what our mash bill is, which is a 75-21-4. They'll see what our mash bill is in the rye. And, of course, the barrel strength is the same mash bill as the bourbon. It's just uncut.
Okay. Now, as far as Devil's – let's talk about Devil's River for a minute.
Okay.
So question four here was, is the Devil's River water only used – in the cutting to proof process, meaning do you guys use it during distillation or is it just used at bottling the
Great question. We use it at both. You know, one of the rules and regulations of bourbon, as you guys know, is it can't be distilled at more than 160 proof when you come off the still. Well, to put it in a barrel, it can't be more than 125 proof. So how do you get from 160 to 125?
You cut it.
So I won't go into details as far as what proof we put it in the barrel because it is not traditional, but it is within regulation. So I'll just say that it's less than 125. But to get there, we will use water to cut it down from the Devil's. Now, the Devil's River, what's the deal with the whole Devil's River thing? I went there in college. I was looking for a cool name. And I remember going back there in college a long, long time ago of a place that is – you know, it's kind of a fun play on words. Devil's River almost like sounds like a whiskey, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun wordplay for marketing and advertisement. But aside from all that, love the place, discovered it. It's very protected. It's the most protected river in Texas, and it's the purest river in Texas. They only allow 12 permits per day on the river, and it's 94 miles long from Sonora all the way down to Del Rio.
There's a part in there that talks about it's a dangerous river for kayakers, too. It talks about the waterfalls. You can get – it's like one of the only level 5 rapids.
It is. Dolan Falls is, the only level 5 – category 5 rapid in Texas. I've got a cool video I'll show you after this. But anyway, the Texas Parks and Wildlife, they have deemed that water as the purest water in Texas. And it's the benchmark for water purity across all lakes and rivers in Texas. So they use that as the benchmark. So on the southern end of the Devils, there's a ranch. It's 10,000 acres. It used to be owned by Red McCombs, the old car dealer. And on that ranch is a spring called Indian Springs. And I source my water from that spring, which is, again, on the southern end. I didn't think it made a lot of sense to take water from the northern end. I felt that wouldn't be, environmentally appropriate or whatever you want to call it. So it's already almost getting ready to dump into Lake Amistad. It comes out of a spring, not directly from the river, but it's great water. It's rich in calcium, mineral content, no iron, which is what you need to make good whiskey.
I know there's and I don't know exactly where it is, but I know there's a part of Devil's River that it talks about that it actually goes underground. That the Devil's River goes
underground. Yeah, so the 94-mile-long confluence, about 40 miles of that is underground.
So is the spring after that?
It is.
It's gone through, because it even talked about the limestone deposits underground that it goes through.
So do you guys do an RO process on the water before reverse osmosis?
The only thing that we do with the Devil's River water is we do it's an infrared process that just kills potential bacteria. Like coliform, for instance, which is present in public waterways everywhere. Coliform lives in the species of deer and raccoons, and so you want to zap that and make sure that's out of there.
You guys source from the spring on a ranch,
mm-hmm.
bring it to the distillery where they use it in mashing and distillation?
No,
just for cutting from the still to the barrel?
Yes.
And then cutting
and then proofing down from when we're doing Devil's River bourbon or the rye, we would proof it down from where, where it comes out of the barrel. I think we're 117 out of the barrel down to 90. We use Devil's River water for that proofing process down to 90.
So all the cutting is all Devil's River? There's no other water?
No, it's all Devil's
River. That's a lot of water to be trucked up
We use tankers.
So well, obviously, you would have to.
I would imagine for the barrel strength Devil's River, the reference to Devil's River water would be simply from the still to the barrel.
That's right. So it's
water. Okay, I see.
Yeah. But good question. To answer the question in whole, there's different levels of Devil's River water in each product, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Some more than others, is fair to say.
No, that makes sense.
And not all the water is Devil's River water that's in there also. I'll be clear on that just to make sure we answer the question properly.
Let's see here. I want to make sure we didn't miss anything here. We got the water treatment. We've got how it's collected from a spring.
I would like to say one more thing on the water. We take the percentage of the sale of each bottle and we donate it to the Devil's River Conservancy, which is fundraising efforts to help protect and clean the river. It goes for river protection, river management, river conservation for the Devils. And we feel like – we like to say that we're giving back more than we're taking. And so we're getting ready to cut a check to the Devil's River Conservancy for our last year sales, and we'll continue to that initiative.
Can you hear that? Is that why? Oh, you started looking like you were panicking. Okay. I mean, that's you've pretty much, you know, covered most of the questions. I wanted to ask your thoughts on the Texas Whiskey Association. Have you guys talked to them at all?
No. I know a lot of their members. We had a meeting with the TABC last Monday, I believe it was, in College Station. The TABC, I really like working with the new regime over there at the TABC. They're sure. much easier to work with, much more approachable, much more proactive, much more business-oriented. So they had a manufacturers executive summit. They wanted to invite all manufacturers from all the different, you know, whether it's beer, wine, or spirits. So there was probably 150 of us there, and they're listening. They're responding. We've got a busy legislative session coming up in September. You know, we've got the four bills that we're filing on the manufacturer side of spirits. I'm the current president of the Texas Distilled Spirits Association, and our industry is emerging. That particular organization you're referring to is kind of a new separate organization that's come about. Haven't talked to them. I know members of it, but
sure. Is there a conflict of interest for you being a part of both? Are they seen as
competitors? I have no issue. I have no issue with it. I haven't talked to them. So
sure.
You know, they haven't invited me to their meeting, but maybe there's a reason for that from some of this stuff. I don't know.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, I would imagine there's.
It's not that I'm opposed to being a member. I mean,
yeah. The perception for a long time has simply been that manipulation of the consumers. Pride and feelings on Texas has sort of been the perception, but so far, I mean,
well, there's a lot of whiskeys out there that are
that have kind of you're paying for the sins of your father,
yeah,
right. So
yeah.
There's been a lot of distilleries out there that have just kind of, I mean, 1835 is caught a lot of flack. Even on this show, I've told people to drink Ezra Brooks 107 for $20 at 7-year-old Kentucky bourbon versus 1835 for the same price. And it's got a cannon on it, and it also kind of plays around with the label a little bit because it's got the word bourbon within the logo, but not – so below the logo says the word whiskey. Within the logo says the word bourbon. So it's almost like
– they're trying to play on words of bourbon.
Whiskey, make you think it's bourbon, bourbon even though it's flavored, and it openly talks about like a lot of their flavorings. It'll still say bourbon on it. So anyways – so you're paying for a lot of like backlash and feelings on other brands.
Sure.
And then of course I totally get a lawyer shutting it down and you guys getting kind of fed up from the beginning.
I wish it didn't go that way. I really wish that didn't have happened. I wish that distiller would have just picked up the phone and said, "Hey, I just saw this online. Can you tell me more about this? What's going on? You had Kentucky and then it's not there anymore."
Sure.
Instead of just like putting that out there thinking, "Aha, I got these guys." When in fact we never source one drop of whiskey from Kentucky.
Sure.
That was unfair, and I wouldn't have done that to another distiller.
Well, I think it's a bit confusing as well because your mash bill matches that of one of the known MGP mash bills. So the assumption when you see that specific mash bill is that it's Indiana.
Yeah.
And then your label says Kentucky and then doesn't say Kentucky. And not to beat this to death, but as a consumer, the only way we have to to speak bluntly, I sent an email to your what's his name? Starts with an E.
Eric, maybe.
Hundolt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I sent him an email. Never heard back from him. And I tried, and I get the idea that when people are throwing a tantrum online or you know, syncing your page with bad reviews, I thought, okay, if I just sent a really well-worded kind of sympathetic email that maybe I'd get a response. I didn't get one. And then I thought the same thing when I got your phone number. I was like, if I just call him, he'll hear my voice that I'm not trying to, you know, and it works, right? We got you here.
You should have just hung up.
But yeah. But
crap, it's Chris Hart.
This
refuse. I think I was somewhere.
I was on family vacation. My wife was not happy that I called you.
I was in Mexico. I was in Mexico.
Oh, that's when you had too much to drink. Yeah,
we're looking at exporting into Mexico, and I was there on an export trip. That's right.
My wife. We haven't been on vacation in 4 years because everything that's happened in the whiskey scene here and the social
kids.
And we went to San Antonio to the Hill Country and just spent 4 days sitting in a hot tub with cigars and whiskey. And
nice.
And then I took the kids to go see a movie that day, and I got your number, and I couldn't help myself. I was like, I'll just call him real quick. It'll be a quick conversation. It was not a quick conversation. It was half an hour, and we're standing outside the movie theater. So yeah, that's my only big thing. Criticism is that I think it was compounded or exacerbated by the fact that not only not getting a response, but the blocking was perceived as petty.
And another thing is, I know
it, again, which I know is not your personal.
It was your marketing company.
Yeah, yeah. Or whoever was working the page decided.
Post never would have happened originally, and I would have gotten some call from Christopher Hart, this guy that I didn't know out of Houston. He's with the Houston Bourbon Society. I would have answered the phone. I would have come here and talked to you, just like I have talked to 20 other reporters.
Sure.
I mean, I have no.
They talked to you about this as well.
There's been some questions around it, probably from some of the buzz from this, but. You know, I had the guys from the Bow Ties and Bourbon event out in Longview last week come and see me at the new distillery, and they've got a Texas bourbon throwdown or something event coming up in the first part of February.
In Beaumont with the guy that does the Whiskey Bible. What's his name?
Jim Murray. Murray.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, good guy. We had a good visit. He saw our new facility, and I'd welcome you guys if you're back.
I saw his post. He was in like a foyer or something. He took a photo in the foyer, and it looks good.
Well, in the same time this happened, this has been going on for a while, but there's a backlash on sourced whiskey that's super expensive.
Oh, sure.
I mean, and people get – and I'm not saying yours is expensive because Devil's River is not on the high end at all.
No.
But there's some others that we've talked about routinely that it's sourced stuff. They have it on the label that it's sourced, and it's $500 a bottle. We all know who I'm talking about.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of them. Right? They may have it at $100 a bottle or $80 a bottle when it's probably a $20 bottle of whiskey. And so people get frustrated. You've got a source whiskey. You're trying to play on Texas, and you're charging me out the ass for it. You know, I don't have a problem with
and
source
not
whiskey.
You specifically.
No. Right, yeah. There's some source whiskey out there that's great. MGP makes some good product. It makes some stuff that I enjoy drinking. I'm just all about the transparency and not charging me ridiculous prices.
You have my phone number now. If you ever hear anything and you want to address it directly, you can text me.
I appreciate
me.
That. Yeah, I'm totally okay with an open line of communication at this point. I just again, we follow the protocol of what our attorney said. I mean, he's a lot smarter about these issues than I am. I do feel like we were treated unfairly, but I appreciate you guys giving us the time to talk about it and a piece of your show to discuss it because, you know, it's
Well, and that was the whole, you know, I know that like – and I know I'm probably going to get some criticisms for this episode because I told you this over the phone. I think you coming in here and just simply – you're like, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. Yeah, we didn't do this at all. Like just addressing things directly, and people sometimes are out for blood. They want to see blood in the water. So
Chris said it earlier, I totally wanted you to be totally unlikable.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be able to go to you. But what about this? And
I didn't say I didn't want you to be likable. What I'm saying is like it makes for a better show, right? People are
confrontation.
We want a
people are expecting. Yeah.
Man, that Mike guy.
The episode that airs today, the one that's online right now. I said it, I think, at the very end. I was like, if he comes in here hat in hand and just – I don't know what I'm going to say if he just addresses things directly. Like people expect controversy, but a lot of times there's not a conspiracy there to be had. It's all in your head.
Let's
you know?
Get Travis back on here. We can talk shit to him.
I mean I get the criticisms on the label and the criticisms with not responding. I get the – I totally get you feeling like you guys weren't treated fairly. In my opinion, I think that's definitely the case with maybe some distillers who know better, who might have added fuel to that fire. From the consumer, I just keep thinking in my head how they could have acted differently because the only thing any consumer has, you know, I want to speak to a manager. Okay, well, this is online. Okay, well, then I'm going to go to their page. The only feedback, the only route of feedback, the only way that anyone who's the average consumer knows how to do is to address things directly with you the best way they can. And when they try and they can't, then
– you're frustrated.
I've said this before. A shitty action often yield shitty reactions. Oh, sorry, I've realized we're got to censor that. Not that you were bad, but that that protocol, I think, is what made it so, you know what I mean? From what I understand, and I could be wrong, you may know more than I do because I'm sure this thing was picked apart in depth, but the bad reviews came after they were blocked. They weren't right from the get-go. The bad reviews right.
And I don't know if you guys had the privilege to see some of the negative.
I did because I had to shut it down in the group. So there were some people who got upset at me for allowing it to continue.
And there were some people that got upset with you for cutting the comments off.
Yeah.
Too.
So essentially, what we do is I have to play this boundary in this group where we don't censor. But we want people to, if you don't like something, you don't like something, which causes a problem with me and my whiskey festival. Because if Joe Schmo doesn't like something in the group, and then that vendor, that supplier who's in the group sees like, oh, your group does. I mean, that happened with Diageo. I wanted to have. I'm such a huge Lagavulin fan. I wanted to have them at my whiskey festival, but Crown's also one of their brands. And when the group kind of ripped apart Crown, and the supplier went to the distributor, said, "We want to have this. We want to be at this event." They're like, "They're also the distributors are also in the group." They're like, "We don't. Why would we want to participate in that event? No one in the group likes us." Well, even though I'm involved with both, they're separate entities. And for the longest time, not anymore, now it's self-sustaining, but for the longest time, HBS was getting its members from the event. We were promoting them. We, from the very beginning, we were promoting them. We actually did paid advertisement when HBS was first formed, and we tried to help build it. We did paid advertising on our Whiskey Social page. We did it. We bought banners to advertise at the event. So we were trying to promote this online forum. Well, at the same time, it's still a separate thing. So all this vitriol and the hate was coming, and I was upset too when I first got blocked because I felt like I couldn't have handled it any better than I already did. I sent them a reasonable message. I sent them a reasonable email, and no one responded. And then you get blocked. It's like, well, hold. Then you start getting angry, right? Like how – you know. Anyway, so on the surface, it looked like you guys had committed all these offenses, and then – I felt like I tried to approach things, and anyway, so the comments were pretty up there, and so eventually I got messages and emails from a few suppliers, a good buddy, you know, Averyn Edwards from Turlato.
I don't think so.
Spirits. He's a supplier. He at the time I think he was with the distributor, but he was like, "Hey man, I'm hearing that there's some ceases and desists going out. Like, you need to shut this down. The group, like, I get why they're upset, but so
well, I was told not to talk to that distiller. I told you that guy.
Yeah.
I told you that earlier. But again, I'm not a litigious person. So my thought was, well, how can I deal with this without going any further down the road with some sort of lawsuit? So I contacted a friend of mine who's very close to that organization. And I called him and I explained to him what was going on. And I think that may have made a difference because this stuff stopped after that.
Sure.
I didn't want to say, "Hey, we're going to sue your ass." I mean, that wasn't my intention.
Sure.
I mean, I really –
You just wanted to stop, yeah.
I just wanted to stop. I mean, it's just in, you know, you started it out all wrong, the approach you took, and it was just it unraveled. And so anyway, it's the past. I move forward and – if we did have a little bit of time, I'd like to talk, you know, more about the Texas Distilled Spirits Association. There's 144 DSPs now in Texas. I don't know if you guys know that, but that's a pretty large number compared to where we were 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was checking the – this came up recently too in the group. I was checking the DSPs in Houston area.
Mm-hmm.
There's 17 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I understand, the list isn't super up to date, and a lot of those businesses have since shuttered, but – There's a lot happening in Texas right.
As far as actual members that we have in our organization. It's about 50 of those. Now, not all 144 are in this business. Some of them use alcohol for some ice cream product or some weird off thing. So, but if we could get, you know, 80 or 90 of those members, it's going to help us with our legislative issues in Texas. A lot of our members are really struggling right now because it's a three-tier system. It's actually a four-tier system, but if you're the manufacturer and the distributor doesn't like or want your product, what are you going to do? I mean, that's how you have to sell your product is through the distributor
you
network.
You have to, yeah.
So if the distributor just says, okay, I'll take it, but just as a favor and doesn't get behind the brand, makes it very difficult for that brand to survive. So the only thing you have to depend on is people that come to your facility and buy cocktails. You charge for tours and you sell them a bottle. And that's about all you can do. So when we got the bottle bill passed in 2013, that really was a nice shot in the arm for our industry. And then when we had the tax, you know, working with Mark especially was big involved in the
I tax, like him a lot.
The craft tax reform bill, that helped a lot to get – so there's a lot of new folks coming into our industry because of those legislative changes. But I just don't want the perception to be of the public of distilleries that we're all multimillionaires and we're killing it, because that's not the case at all. Most of us bust our ass and work hard every day, and we're trying to grow a brand, and it's very expensive – and you go through a lot of cash, and it's not – it's a struggle. You're trying to – it's tough.
So you saying that, I have a question. And you don't have to give me an exact amount.
Yeah.
But how expensive is your marketing firm? And I'll tell you the reason I say this. Man, I see billboards and stuff everywhere. Like, I don't know if you say, hey, this is what I want. I want this and this and that. Like, I know with our company, our owner says – we want this and this and this, and then you can have some liberty doing what you think is best.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you go, I want billboards going into Dallas and a billboard in downtown Houston, and because like I'm seeing Devil's River billboards everywhere. And you're even though I can't go to your Facebook page, y'all have was it Devil River Ambassadors? Is that what y'all call them?
Devil's Advocates.
Advocate. Mm-hmm. Because I will see
a bad name.
Advertising coming up for Devil's River in my Facebook feed. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's because I follow whiskey and stuff like that. So it pops up and I'm like, I know they got to be paying out the ass for these billboards and stuff. But I mean,
well, I'll see if we can get you back on
Facebook page.
I'm sorry. You know, I'll
send you a list of people that would like to be able to come back.
It's you know, and I'm going to open the show with an introduction and just kind of, you know, this is all so much simpler than, I think what a lot of people realize. It's not this huge government conspiracy to kind of screw over both you and the consumer or whatever. You're essentially a small business is trying to, and I get that, right? So I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate just being honest and just kind of hitting it head on. I mean, I know that it's such a blip now compared to back then. But either way, I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you for having us. And if it cleared up, you know, questions that people had, that was, you know, hopefully we accomplished that. And going back to our members, it's not just bourbon and whiskeys that are being made in Texas. You know, we've got vodkas and gins, but there's a girl in Bastrop that's now making an absinthe. We've got a couple in Lockhart who's making a cherry brandy, which is an Edelbrand from Austria. Lockhart, yeah. Hmm. And so you've got all these great things emerging in our industry in Texas, and we're really starting to make a name for ourselves in the spirits world, and that's great because – you know, as we didn't get the respect in the wine world years ago, now we've made some headway there. It just takes time and innovation. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit there's been some crappy products that come from Texas, and there's been crappy products come from a lot of states. But
sure,
through innovation and education and working together and developing our brands, there's going to be some great things.
I just don't like crappy products that come from outside of Texas and then claim to be Texas.
Yeah, and I think that's where most of the Texans are very prideful in their state. And obviously there's a lot happening here. It's a huge market, and it's a loud market. So,
yeah, there's a lot of Texas pride, and I certainly recognize that. It's funny, you go to other states, and we did this with our brand. We took our bottle and did some marketing surveys on our brand, and people don't think Texas is as great as we do, you know?
Oh, sure.
They're just wrong.
People outside of America don't think America is as great as we do.
They're wrong, too.
So, you know, I won't say we took Texas off our label because we've never done that. We would never do that. But we did tone down Texas from originally where we were. We're Go Texan members. We still are. But we had the Go Texan logo on there. And the first thing we thought
– Had? You took it off?
We had. And the first thing we thought was, oh, the Houston Bourbon Society is going to say that we took that off because we're not Go Texan. And that wasn't the case at all. The reason that we took it off was because our bottle's wide. When you have this bottle on the shelf
– sure.
Sometimes the bartenders put it in there like that because limited shelf space. Well, on one side, we have our Devil's River logo. On the other side, we had the Go Texan, and no one would know what that meant or couldn't identify that product.
Sure.
So we just put Devil's River on both sides.
On both sides.
We're still proud members of Go Texan, and I want to emphasize that.
But well, we've given Go Texan a little bit of stuff on this show yeah. as well because of the they don't have the same requirements that like with wine. If you want the Go Texan yeah. logo on your wine, it has to be
that was handled internally with the Texas Wine Growers Association several years ago. Defining what a Texas wine is,
sure.
and there's some of that movement going on, and then now the Texas whiskey world, and I've supported 100%. If that's what the way the direction goes, we're more than happy to.
Right, I was just saying the only reason why HBS didn't give you guys a hard time that it came off because one.
Do you recognize that it came off?
No. Okay. One, I didn't notice, but two, there's not a lot of credibility in the whiskey world, at least locally, with the Go Texan logo.
Anyway,
mm-hmm. So,
in reality, that organization is underfunded. Even the Texas wines that use that designation. They've told me, directly that they have a hard time
maintaining operations.
maintain operations, but regulating who's sure. 75. I think it's 75% Texas juice has to be in a Texas wine bottle.
Yeah.
So
and I think it's like 15% after. There's a certain percentage of it sure. has to actually be Texas grapes.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's a, if that's an evolution of Texas whiskey, I'm all for it. I mean, let's bring it on and we can, if we want to classify that as a, but I think we should patrol it among our organizations instead of having anytime you want to get the government involved to help you with your regulation,
sure.
why would you do that? I mean, that's so counterproductive to me. We have enough rules and regulations in this industry already.
You're not going to get much of a disagreement there. just to recap, and then we've got to go. It's been an hour. This has been great, and I appreciate it. You guys are 100% grain to glass Texas whiskey sourced from two different distilleries in Texas. You guys have laid down. You've contracted to distill them, asked them to same mash bill. Let me ask you. I know we're out of time, but it just occurred to me.
Sure.
If it's the same mash bill, why are you sourcing from two? Why are you having two different distilleries contract?
Capacity.
Okay, so they couldn't do enough. You need
because they've got their own projects they've got to do. So we and that's another reason that we're building this facility because we want to do more because we're growing and so we got to again forward thinking next month but 2 years 3 years down the road you have to be thinking about this stuff. It's very expensive to get in this business. I'm sitting there on 3,000 barrels of inventory. That's not cheap to do.
No,
to pay for it
and
to
you have
store
pay taxes
it,
on
to
it
pay,
yeah.
yeah all that
so okay and you guys have taken Go Texan off not because they're not following those regulations or those requirements. Just because of product placement on the shelf.
Absolutely. Still members.
Both the barrel strength and the regular offering both contain Devil's River water, which does not go through an RO treatment. It goes through a sanitizing
infrared.
Yeah,
bacteria.
Okay. And that's added both at cutting the barrel and at bottling.
Correct. Depending on the product.
I think that covers all of our bases. You guys. The age statement is missing as an oversight. The label is not technically compliant, but you guys have plans to fix that once you run out of current stock. I think that covers all of our bases. Sweet. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And Alan, always a pleasure.
Alan, Mike, nice to meet you in person. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10.
These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help. You save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.